Well, so we are continuing in today's Mishnah Yomi, and we find ourselves in Perek Beis, Mishnayos Gimel through Dalet, Chapter 2 of Maseches Demai, Mishnayos 3 through 4. Mishnah Gimel says as follows, HaMakabal Alav Lihios Chaver. So if you remember again, in Mishnah Beis, we spoke about a person who wanted to become what's called in Halacha a Ne'amon. Ultimately, again, a Ne'amon is someone who, when you buy produce from him, you don't have to worry that you're getting Demai from him. Now this is a new level. In this new level, the individual wants to become a chaver. Now, a chaver is someone in general who is careful with tuman tara. That's the general definition of a chaver. So the Bartanura says over here, he quotes the idea that nishar le'inyan taras, the hainu parush, the begod of umashkim shalotorim, someone who's very careful, very vigilant in the laws of ritual purity. So what does one need to do in order to qualify as a chaver? So the Mishnah says, "Hamakabel of Lios Chaver." So Eino Mocheli Amaretz Lach Viyavish. He doesn't sell any food to an Amaretz, whether the food is wet or dry. Now, what does it make a difference if food is wet or dry? So remember, again, we actually had this in Daf Yomi today as well, that halacha lemaisa, food item only becomes a ra'i lekabel tumah, is only receptive to tumah if it comes in contact with liquid. Again, there are more intricacies to that, but for our purposes today, that's enough. So he doesn't sell produce to an amaretz, whether it's wet or that it's dry. Now, the idea behind this is because if it's wet and he sells it to an amaretz, an unlearned person, and is generally not careful or vigilant with the laws of Tum and Tara, and so he's setting up food items to go ahead and become Tameh. Now, even though this only applies with food that has become wet, not the food that's dry, but nevertheless, again, the rabbis decreed that what we call a low plug, in other words, that if a person wants to hold himself to this higher standard, he doesn't go ahead and sell any food item to an Amaretz, whether it is wet or dry. And he doesn't purchase any food that has become wet from an Amaretz. Again, out of the concern that once it's become wet, it's become receptive to become Tameh, to Tumah. And therefore, again, maybe the Amaretz, who generally is assumed to be in a state of Tumah, touched it, and thereby would render the produce Tameh. Ve'enu misarech etzal Amaretz, and he does not allow himself to be the guest in the home of an Amaretz, because again, that could lead to Tumah. V'lo ma'archo etzlo bikisuso. And furthermore, again, the person who wants to be a chaver does not have the Amaretz as a guest when the Amaretz is wearing his own clothing. Now, what's the logic behind this? Logic behind this is because the clothing of an Amaretz is assumed to be Tameh as well. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Yehuda says, Aflo yigadol behim adaka. Now, here's what's interesting. Up until this point in time, in order to become a chaver, so the Mishnah speaks about the different stringencies one has to take upon themselves regarding the laws of Tumah and Tara, ritual purity and impurity. Rabbi Huda adds on an additional list of items. He says, Aflo yigadol behim adaka. You also cannot go ahead and raise small domestic animals. So this is a different halacha that the Gemara says one is not supposed to raise small domestic animals, sheep, goats, out of a concern that those animals will go to graze on, those animals normally go out to graze. So they may come to graze on the fields of others, causing others to suffer a loss. So Rabbi Huda says, if you really want to be a chaver, you even adopt certain stringencies in terms of monetary law. A person should not go ahead. A parus means you act in a wanton fashion. Person should not act in a wanton fashion regarding nedarim, making vows. In other words, to be a chaver, you have to take your words very seriously. And one of the ways in which a person demonstrates taking their words seriously is they don't just vow for no reason. Or b'schok, a person does not go ahead and act in a jocular fashion. Right? The person jokes around all the time. These are considered to be behaviors that are of a more, frivolous nature. And so if a person does them, clearly they're not the status of a chaver. V'lo ye mitame lemesim, he should not go ahead and allow himself to become tame by attending to the dead. Now here's what's interesting. Now halacha lemaisa, what's wrong with becoming tame? So remember again, technically speaking, if a person becomes tame, the only way to extract themselves from, or to change that status, is with the ashes of the Parah Aduma. So the Bartanura says that since the ashes are not always available, a person has to be careful. Mishan Shebeis HaMedrash is actually pretty amazing. Mishan Shebeis HaMedrash means, and to be a chaver, you have to learn to go ahead and serve Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars in the Beis Medrash. In other words, to be a chaver, it's not just enough to learn, but one has to have a relationship and exposure to great Torah scholars as well. Amru lo, so the Rabbanim said to Rabbi Yehuda, lo bo el leklal. These last things that you added on are not necessary for a chaver. In other words, even the Rabbanim will agree that these last items stated, you know, don't raise a behemah daka, don't be frivolous with your vows or with the way you speak, these are all important things. But the status of a chaver is directly related to tumah and tahara. So it's only a person who takes on extra stringencies with tumah and tahara. That's the kind of person ultimately, again, or those are the behaviors necessary in order to make someone a chaver. Incredible. We go on now to Mishnah Dalet. Hanach Tumin. So now what's interesting is as follows. We know that we were introduced in this Masechta to the Halacha of Demai. And the Halacha of Demai says that when you go ahead and you separate out, when you purchase produce from an Am Haaretz, you have to retithe it. You have to act with the assumption that they have not properly tithed it. The Mishnah now says there are exceptions to this rule. Hanach Tumin, lo chivu osim chacham lahafish, ela kidei shumas maiser b'chala. For example, bakers. Now, a nachtum is not like a person who's baking for his own needs, but someone who runs a business. So someone who runs a business and he is a baker, the rabbis did not obligate him to separate everything, rather only shumas maiser and chala. And the idea that Bar Tanur explains why is that. So remember again, shumas maiser is the portion ultimately, again, that the lady would give to the Kohen. And ultimately, challah is the portion that you would take from the dough. So you don't have to take any, you don't have to retake any of the other tithes. And the reason for that is because the Bar Tanur explains, generally, bakers would go ahead and make a very small profit. So because they would go ahead and make a very small profit, at the end of the day, the Bar Tanur says that they were taxed. Since they were often forced to sell at a steep discount, they made very little money in general. So because they made such little money, Chazal, the rabbis relaxed the laws of Demai regarding the bakers. But shopkeepers are not permitted to go ahead and sell Demai. In other words, they would have to retithe the produce they purchased from an Am Haaretz. And the reason the Bar Tanur says, they make a lot of money. So because they make a lot of money, they could afford to go ahead and retithe the produce. This is an interesting case. Literally, it means whoever sells in large measure, which means any person who sells large quantities of produce at once, is permitted to sell Demai, meaning that they don't have to retithe any produce they go ahead and purchase on the Am Haaretz. Now, what's the logic behind this? The logic behind this, is the Bar Tanur says, Derech HaMochrim Harbe Biyachal Hosef Al Amida. People who sell in large measure were generally very generous with their measurements. So because they sold in large measure, the purchaser often benefit from it. So because they were generous with the measures they dispensed, ultimately, again, the rabbis relaxed the need to retithe Demai produce. Eloheinu Mashvim Midagasa. What are some examples of people who sell in a large measure and therefore, again, would not be obligated to retithe Demai produce? Kigon Hasitonos Umochre Tevua. Examples are Sitonos are wholesalers, and Mochre Tevuos are grain sellers. So these are people who, when they sell, would sell in large measure, and because they were giving the buyer the extra benefit of the additional measure, the rabbis relaxed the laws of Demai and did not require them to re-tithe produce purchased from an Am Haaretz. Wonderful. Shkoyach, everyone. Will stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tz Hashem with Mishnayos Hey and Vav tomorrow. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.